Buddha,
at that time,
Bhuman,
the living entity,
Mukta,
liberated,
Samasta Bandhana,
from all material obstacles on the path of devotional service.
From all material obstacles on the path of devotional service.
Tatbhava,
of the situation of the Supreme Lord's activities.
Bhava,
by thinking.
Anukrita,
made similar.
Ashaya Akriti,
whose mind and body.
Nirdagda,
completely burned up.
Bija,
the seed or original cause of material existence.
Anushaya,
desire.
Mahiyasa,
very powerful.
Bhakti,
of devotional service.
Prayogena,
by the application.
Sameti,
achieves.
Adhoksajam,
the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
who is beyond the reach
of the material mind and knowledge.
Of the material mind and knowledge.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. The devotee is then freed from all material contamination because he constantly thinks of the Lord's pastimes and because his mind and body have been converted to spiritual qualities. Because of his intense devotional service, his ignorance, material consciousness, and all kinds of material desires are completely burnt to ashes. This is the stage at which one can achieve the shelter of the Lord's lotus feet.
Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. When a devotee is completely purified, he becomes Anya Vilasita Shunya. In other words, all of his material desires become zero, being burnt to ashes, and he exists either as the Lord's servant, friend, father, mother, or conjugal lover. Because one thinks constantly in this way, one's present material body and mind are fully spiritualized, and the needs of one's material body completely vanish from one's existence. An iron rod put into a fire becomes warmer and warmer, and when it is red hot, it is no longer an iron rod, but fire. Similarly, when a devotee constantly engages in devotional service and thinks of the Lord in his original Krishna consciousness, he no longer has any material activities, for his body is spiritualized. Advancement in Krishna consciousness is very powerful, and therefore, even during this life, such a devotee has achieved the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. This transcendental ecstatic existence of a devotee was completely exhibited by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In this regard, Srila Madhvacharya writes as follows: Tad bhava bhava yad yata svarupam bhakti kechit bhakta vrindrityanti gayanti chaye kisham kechit chushmin japantyeva kechit sobhaya karinaha. The ecstatic condition of devotional service was completely exhibited by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who sometimes danced, sometimes cried, sometimes sang, and sometimes remained silent, and sometimes chanted the holy name of the Lord. That is perfect spiritual existence.
Om Agyana Timurandasya Ginajana Shalakaya Chakshush Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama. Seventh canto, seventh chapter. What Prahlad learned in the womb. So we've been discussing that Prahlad began teaching his schoolfellows, first of all analyzing there is matter and there is spirit. And you are the spirit now entangled in matter. Then the process of liberation from matter was put forward as bhakti yoga. And the way to attain bhakti yoga, the secret of success, is that one has to surrender to the bhakta, who is the spiritual master, and he can engage you in the Lord's service. Now he's describing, if one takes to this process, the results. There are two verses that I skipped with a very small purport. I'll read them before today's verse. One who is situated in devotional service is certainly the controller of his senses, and he is thus a liberated person. When such a liberated person, the pure devotee, hears of the transcendental qualities and activities of the Lord's incarnations for the performance of various pastimes, his hairs stand on end of his body, tears fall from his eyes, and in his spiritual realization, his voice falters. Sometimes he very openly dances, sometimes he sings loudly, and sometimes he cries. Thus he expresses his transcendental jubilation. When a devotee becomes like a person haunted by a ghost, he laughs and loudly chants about the qualities of the Lord. Sometimes he sits to perform meditation and he offers respect to every living entity, considering himself a devotee of the Lord. Constantly breathing very heavily, he becomes careless of social etiquette and loudly chants like a madman, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, O my Lord, O Master of the Universe." And today's verse, again, the devotee is then freed from all material contamination because he constantly thinks of the Lord's pastimes and because his mind and body have become converted to spiritual qualities. Because of his intense devotional service, his ignorance, material consciousness, and all kinds of material desires are completely burnt to ashes. This is the stage at which one can achieve the shelter of the Lord's lotus feet. Symptoms of ecstasy are described. And detachment from material life. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati said that tears could perhaps be brought about by a good actor. But we want to see the foundation of ecstasy in material detachment. And this is the basis. Because ecstasy is based on the spiritual body. You don't feel ecstasy in this material body. They call that ecstasy. But it is the flickering pleasure of sense gratification. Ecstasy is becoming free of the body, feeling the pleasure of the soul free from the body. The soul is different than the body, analytically. Now when you actually feel that, Aham Brahmasmi, Hare Krishna, when he chants, Hare Krishna is better than Aham Brahmasmi. Aham Brahmasmi means I am Brahman, Brahmabhuta, not Jivabhuta. Mama Ivamsa, Jivaloka, Jivabhuta. Jivabhuta means the soul is stuck in the material world with the six senses. And when he's then Brahmabhuta, then he's not eternally stuck, he's liberated. So the soul, he is liberated, but he's temporarily thinking that he's stuck. So he has to get out. That's Brahmabhuta. So, but Hare Krishna means I am the servant of God. This ecstasy was expressed by Prahlad Maharaj. He expresses himself in another section, in his ecstatic mood, that Krishna was his protector. He said, when Krishna is not here, sometimes I cry, And then when suddenly I catch sight of Krishna, oh, I become very ecstatic, just like a little child cries when his mother is not there. And then when his mother is coming, oh, he's very happy. But that is in connection with Krishna. And there are many different ecstasies. The nectar devotion is dedicated to that. So many symptoms. So, getting free of the bodily platform, becoming detached, is all done in Krishna consciousness. Vairagya vidya nija bhakti yoga sikshartam eka purusham purana Sri Krishna Chaitanya Shariradari kripam trustvam aham prapadye kripam buddham yastvam aham prapadye. That is the verse by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. On recognizing Lord Chaitanya as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he wrote 100 verses. These two are very prominent. And this verse, Vairagya Vidya, he describes the mission of Lord Chaitanya. You have come to teach us the science of surrender, detachment from material life, and attachment to you. So Krishna consciousness is knowledge of detachment, Vairagya. It comes in the beginning, sadhana bhakti, we deliberately take the path of nirvritti, diminishing material desires. But then, when you do it and it becomes spontaneous, then actually, out of ecstasy, of happiness, of doing the Krishna consciousness engagement, relating with Krishna, whether chanting or hearing, when you become very ecstatic with it, then simultaneously you forget the body. Or a practical example is that one will not think about so much about eating, and not think so much about sleeping, and not think at all about sex. Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami. Sleeping 2-3 hours, sometimes not even that. Raghunath Das Goswami, eating a little bit every other day. And dancing and chanting. So this we can tell. For our advancement. Advancement is understood by when we become not angry, when we become detached, when we become unafraid. These are three are mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. There are symptoms. When we want to work so much in Krishna consciousness that we don't want to come back to tend to the material body. This is real Vairagya. We are absorbed in Krishna consciousness. So we should deliberately plan for this. We're not speaking simply of going into a state of trance for some time. But constant trance. Trance, samadhi, means the highest stage of yoga where you are absorbed, involved completely in Krishna consciousness. So we deliberately plan for this. Srila Prabhupada used to say, the temple arrangement, deity chanting, this is groundwork for ecstasy. Yes, deliberate. The incense is offered to Krishna, and the aroma of that being offered to Krishna, appealing to the senses. Someone may say this is some psychologically induced state, you're putting yourself on, but it is not a mental platform. Moreover, this is the standard process. Engaging the senses in the glorification of the Lord. If there is nice incense, if there is nice aroma from the flower, or if they have put the aroma into the incense, and we offer it to Krishna, and by smelling that incense, we feel some alteration or elevation. Of course, it is not simply a matter of chemicals or incense. But the combination of the beautiful decoration of the deity of Krishna and the nice aroma is transcendental. Emotion is evoked. Just as the materialist evokes material emotions, the original emotion is transcendental pleasure in relation to Krishna. Hare Krishna certainly evokes that. It's there. So it is not material, otherwise it would not have been mentioned with such stress that when the Kumaras smelt the tulsi offered at the lotus feet of Krishna and the incense, their minds changed and they became personalists. Because it was connected with Krishna, they saw Krishna was being worshipped and he was so attractive, and because the tulsi was related to his lotus feet, because the incense was related to Krishna. So it is nice if you feel ecstasy in these surroundings. They are intended for that. The pictures for the senses. The Lord is sentient, thou hast proved. In personal calamity, thou hast moved. We're not trying to stop our senses, but engage the senses in the service of Krishna. You can do everything. You can become angry at the demon. You can dance, you can sing, you can make music. But to this point, if anything is distracting, then it is not good. So the spiritual master, he knows how to engage all these things. The painting is certainly not distracting. It is attracting us to Krishna. The beautiful form of Krishna, the garland, all these things. Why should not Krishna, Krishna's deity, Krishna's devotee, be in the nice surrounding for our appreciation? Should he be rejected and kicked on for it to be renunciation? No. In the spiritual world, in Vaikuntha, in Krishna Loka, the Lord is glorified by all kinds of pleasing arrangements. And the spiritual master is there to assist in the affairs. So in this material world, he is aspiring for Vaikuntha, and the devotees are aspiring for Vaikuntha. And they're making a similar arrangement in the temple. And they're chanting together in the temple of Radha Krishna. And taking Bhagavat Prasadam, and he's satisfied. This is all ecstatic states. Sometimes he feels quivering in his body. Sometimes he dances because of this ecstasy. He's always aspiring to relish pastimes of Krishna, the names and forms of Krishna. And when one begins to appreciate Radha Krishna, it is simply ecstasy in all these descriptions of. So we are culturing the highest states of pleasure in relation to Krishna. Krishna is an ocean of ecstasy, or the description here, like the iron and the fire. You approach that fire, associate with it, and you become like that. You don't merge with Krishna, but he's full of pleasure. He's not alone. He's experiencing pleasure with the devotees, and you also. You just contact with Krishna, that ocean of ecstasy. There's that wonderful description in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, how the body of Krishna is like waves of ecstasy, and the gopis are such a poetic description, how they're like the leaves fallen from the trees and they cannot rise. And all these things. So poetic, so ecstatic. So real for those advanced devotees who can understand Krishna in that way. And they are so merciful that we are entering this also. Everyone is being told about this, and to the degree that he can submissively hear it, and all his senses will become alive and his intelligence filled with Krishna consciousness, Krishna emotions. This is being described here. First of all, you have to get free from material contamination. You have to know that you're not the body. That's not your field of endeavor or your field of enjoyment. Make arrangement for worshipping Krishna beautifully for meditating on Krishna. Stop illicit sex, intoxication, gambling. Once Srila Prabhupada was asked by an interviewer, "Swamiji, I understand you say that everyone, all the boys should get married. And what is wrong with sex outside of marriage?" Prabhupada, with the goal on spiritual life, said, "If you want spiritual life," he said, "the mind has to be peaceful. If one is always thinking, 'Let me capture this person,' 6 months later he's trying to think of capturing another person," he said, "then the mind is too agitated. This is why we are against the sex life. It is a distraction." Savai Mana Krishna Padaur Mana Padaur Mahine Maharaj Amrish. Positively engaging everything. Desire for Krishna, not desirelessness. Srila Prabhupada explained that clearly for all of us. There is no question of desireless. That is a symptom of life for the living entity, desire. But make the desires in connection with Krishna. So, and also we've been advised not to artificially bring out some ecstatic symptom, but it will come automatically. But I'm pointing out the deliberate building for this substantial remaining in the Brahma-bhuta, that we should do by cutting down the sense gratification and putting ourselves in the ocean of ecstasy. In the beginning, it may even seem like not ecstasy, because you're attached to the body and attached to the mind. The holy name is the most sweet thing, but the jaundiced man thinks the sweet thing is bitter. But as he goes on taking the sweet thing, which is his medicine, then by and by he tastes it as sweet. So if you practice the austerities of Krishna consciousness and try to serve Krishna against your mind's demands, vacho vegam manasak krodha vegam, against the demands of anger, against the pushing of the belly, against the pushing of the genitals, against the pushing of nonsense words and thoughts, then you will experience Brahma Shokam Yanantam. And then sometimes the question is asked, that will we know if we feel very happy, is that a sign that we're advancing? Yes. Spiritual life is happy. And that happiness is service. And such service that we lose contact with this, with these material demands. So put yourself in that situation and stick in there. And whatever material demands are there, before very long, we will not be so concerned with them, but we'll be tasting the ecstasy. All these things are meant for our attainment. And then finally, when there's nothing left, the whole body becomes changed, no material desire left. As it says here in the purport, thinking constantly in this way, one's present material body and mind are fully spiritualized, and the needs of one's material body completely vanish from one's existence. There are some nice examples Srila Prabhupada would give in the Srimad Bhagavatam. I remember one example as a story. There was one artist who was painting and absorbed in his art. And some friend came to see him, and on the way there was a big accident right outside the artist's studio. A big commotion, accident, people in the street and everything, police. So he had to make his way through the big crowd. into the artist's studio, and he said, "Oh, yeah. Did you? What part did you take in this? Is it? You saw? You were all right?" And the artist said, "What?" He said, "This accident in the street. So I did not notice. I was working." So. So he used to say, tell that story and say, so if an ordinary affair, not connection with Krishna, transcendental absorption by some work or art is possible, why not when with the all-attractive object, Krishna, that you can be oblivious of this material body, demands, and the material world? Then the body can go on. That is not a big thing. But it becomes just what it should be, not a pampered, egoistic center, but simply a machine that is necessary. One needs to eat for the brain and to keep the body strong. So he attends to this. But not, he does not live to eat. He eats to live, and he lives to serve Krishna. This is the idea. The example is given just as a drunkard doesn't know if his coat or cloth is on him or off him. So a person in Krishna consciousness is not, he's neglectful of this material body. These are examples if you're asking, well, how could I become so such so-called ecstatic state where I don't even know what's happening. It is not like that. Prabhupada would also say he's almost, so many of the boys were trying for some kind of forgetfulness in taking drugs and things. So he said, a spiritual person does not exist as in a fog, he said, but he is expert in everything. He's expert with the touch of a poet, I think he said. He's not, like we say, spaced. That's not ecstasy. Unfortunately, people are so unhappy with material reality, they try to become like that, simply void. No, he's in touch with the spiritual reality, and he can do everything nicely for Krishna, first class. First class cooking, first class everything. But he's not doing it for himself, and he's ecstatic because he's not thinking of the body. So this is an example of how you can be forgetful of your material surroundings and yet working them because they're so trivially, they're being done in a subordinate sense, expertly. This question was asked, that if the soul is actually that which is giving life to the body, and that's admitted by the transcendentalist, then how can he not be very much connected with the body and affected by the body? If actually it's the soul that's making all the bodily functions work. So the example is given that a rich man, he may be driving in his limousine in the back seat, and the driver is driving. But the man in the back seat, he's actually aware that we're going to the White House, and there's, of course, gas in the car, and he's driving there. But he's not, it's taken care of, and he's thinking of the meeting with the president. He's absorbed in this higher matter, although only by his arrangement and knowledge is the car being driven by his servant. Or a man is working in the office and he's getting up and down going to the file. So he doesn't think that now it's 10 o'clock. How many times have I gotten up and gone to the file? It is 13 times up and 13 times down. And I've pushed my chair forward 40 times and opened the drawers. No, he's not thinking of such things, although he's doing them. And the materialist, he's so foolish, he doesn't even know what he's there for. He's just trying to squeeze pleasure out of this body So we should use this body in that way. And in those situations where the service is difficult, then we have to, because we identify with the body, then we have to rely on the sense of duty. Because we're fools, we won't feel this detachment and ecstasy, but nevertheless, there is no alternative then. Because Krishna spoke like that to Arjuna. You're crying. Why are you crying? Because you're attached. All right, then you have to cry. Because you're attached. You're crying for your relatives. I can't forbid you because this is your nature. But I must forbid you that you must not refrain from this duty. You do it with your tears because you're attached, but you have to do it. And if you hear from me, then you'll do it without tears and you'll be free. But you have to do it. And if you say, well, I don't have to do it, I don't have to serve Krishna, the spiritual master. Yes, you don't have to serve bhakti yoga in the temple, but you'll serve Krishna's material energy anyway. You'll experience heat and cold, you'll experience austerity, hard work, everything, and you'll get no credit, no ecstasy, and you'll take a lower form of life. But by this process, more and more the body is shed, the material desires are shed, and then when perfect, the body is dropped and one goes to the spiritual body. So when we say utsaha, enthusiasm, it means for this, completely conquering over the material desires and the material world by just thinking instead of Krishna and Krishna's duties and not being worried or affected by this, all the different cataclysms or big upheavals within our own body, our own passions, and whatever may be happening also in the material world. Krishna will protect us. So are there any questions? Yes.
You mentioned that Krishna will protect us, right? How would one know when Krishna is protecting
us? Well, the devotee, he always is expecting Krishna's mercy. That's one of his symptoms. It's not just that if there was some danger, some physical dangerous scene occurred, and somehow he was very nicely saved. He said, oh, I was protected by Krishna. But even if it appears there's some situation and he suffers reverse, he also sees, I'm protected by Krishna. He said, well, if you're protected, why were you hurt? Because for my past activities, I deserved much greater. I'm protected by Krishna in that I received only a little. And whatever I receive, little or great, is making me aware not to be attached to this material body. I'm still attached. So this is not a mundane psychological affair, but he is actually aware of Krishna and aware also of his need to give up his material attachment. Therefore, he sees Krishna's protection in every way. Just because he knows that Krishna will save him. Kuntiya patijani hi name bhakta punishati. Krishna says, I'll always protect you, my devotee will never be vanquished. You think of me, even when this material body is finished, you will come to me. Since we took a body, it's not that Krishna is going to protect us so this body will be immortal. But at the time of this body being given up, he will take us and protect us. Therefore, we say, my devotee will never be vanquished. But also within this material world, the devotee is protected. So you have to be a devotee to see how Krishna is protecting you, otherwise you won't see. Okay, thank you very much. Jai, all glories to